So getting back to practical clinical algorithms, we just asked investigators what they do. And when they all say the same thing, we call it a consensus. And when they give five different answers, it's not a consensus. But one thing we've heard for a long time is that in, quote, the younger patient who can tolerate it, for the patient without 17p53 who's IGVH mutated, most investigators will go with FCR. And as I was telling John, we get a lot of pushback from that from general oncologists in the community. They find it very, very toxic, very problematic, and of course, they find drugs like ibrutinib certainly a lot easier. Can you go through in your own mind how you go through with a patient the issues here? And I know you actually have this 60-year-old man who presented. Actually, he was with unmutated disease, correct?
That's right. I picked him deliberately because he is unmutated but with trisomy 12. And there's some suggestion that trisomy 12 can particularly benefit from FCR, even in the unmutated setting. And as noted in the case, he remains MRD negative in complete remission 7 years after FCR, which is quite a substantial benefit and duration of time not on therapy.
So what about this issue of FCR, particularly in the community setting? Do you think that people, and you see lots of CLL patients, the average doc sees, maybe one-tenth the number that you see. Do you think it's more toxic in people who aren't using it a lot? And do you think it's really a standard of care to be using FCR, or at least presenting it in these patients?
I do think it's a standard of care to be presenting it certainly to the mutated patients. I believe it's curative for a significant fraction of them, and that's why. And there's no evidence that BR is curative. There is a bit of a learning curve with giving it, and what I always like to emphasize is the importance of aggressive supportive care. So all the patients get prophylactic pegfilgrastim every cycle. All the patients get pneumocystis prophylaxis. All the patients get varicella zoster prophylaxis. In the first cycle, you need aggressive tumor lysis prophylaxis, fluids, allopurinol. I check labs through day four as well as then on day eight.
That's interesting. Tumor lysis with FCR.
Yes, just like any chemoimmunotherapy, or like R-CHOP with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, especially the mutated patients, their white count will practically normalize within a couple days. It's very potent. Usually, we don't see tumor lysis, or at least I don't when I do all this preventative therapy, but I do think that's a big issue. And the other point I always like to make is that you have to watch the counts carefully with each cycle, and if patients are not recovering their counts and you have to hold for a couple of weeks, I tend to stop. And that's potentially because you don't want to push it to the point where you are doing their bone marrow damage. And there are patients whose bone marrow is quite sensitive to FCR for reasons that we don't understand or can't measure ahead of time, except for clinically what happens. And so I always am very careful about that as well.
When you've had this stop, usually after how many cycles?
Well, it's pretty common that patients may not make it through beyond cycle five. The average in the trials is five cycles. But we sometimes have people who stop after three or four, and I'll do that regardless of their MRD status. If I've had to hold for 3 or 4 weeks or have tried a dose reduction after a 1 or 2 week hold and we're still getting multiple week holds.